Chapter 6. Cautions for Aging Persons. Age no excuse for relaxing self-discipline. I have heard those who have been in the faith for years say that they used to be able to endure trial and difficulty, but since the infirmities of age began to press upon them, they had been greatly distressed when brought under discipline. What does this mean? Does it mean that Jesus has ceased to be your Savior? Does it mean that when you are old and gray-headed, you are privileged to display unholy passion? Think of this. You should use your reasoning powers in this matter, as you do in temporal things. You should deny self and make your service to God the first business of your life. You must not permit anything to disturb your peace. There is no need of it. There must be a constant growth, a constant progress in the divine life. Christ is the ladder that Jacob saw, whose base rests upon the earth, and whose topmost round reaches into the highest heaven. And round after round, you must mount this ladder until you reach the everlasting kingdom. There is no excuse for becoming more like Satan, more like human nature. God has set before us the height of the Christian's privilege, and it is to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19. Be content where you are. Dear brother and sister, Sawyer. In the night I seem to be conversing with you and saying, the lesson you need to learn is to be restful in the Lord. If you encourage a spirit of uneasiness and discontent, you will mar your religious experience. You are neither of you fitted to engage in missionary work in some far-off field, for you have not the endurance to overcome the difficulties you would meet in such circumstances. If you cannot find missionary work to do where you are, you will not be making the right move to go to a place where you are not known in order to do it. You will spend all the little money you have and then not be able to earn more. I wish to say to you, be content where you are. Gain the mastery over your own minds. The uneasiness that you allow yourselves to have disqualifies you to be a blessing where you are. You have a home where you are. Enjoy your home, and thank the Lord that both your lives are spared. Be thankful for the health you have. North Carolina is not so good a place for you as California. You are engaging in missionary work by doing the homework in a peaceable, contented spirit, in keeping your clothing neat and presentable, and in cultivating tidiness, holding yourself in readiness, when opportunity offers, to speak words of cheer to those who need encouragement and help. You will certainly be disappointed if you carry out the plans you have in mind. You cherish the idea that you are not appreciated where you are. I ask you to put away this impression. Lay off this supposed responsibility to do missionary work in another field. You have reason to be thankful for the health and strength that is given you, but if you permit yourselves to be unhappy, you disqualify yourselves for the missionary work that you might do at home. You can be a blessing to each other and to those about you. Be cheerful and happy right where you are. Cultivate the peace of God in your hearts. Do not be discouraged, but let your words be such as to inspire hope and good cheer, and your influence be of a character to uplift. May the Lord bless you and guide you, is my prayer. Your age is sufficient reason why you should be contented where you are. Let the young men and women fill the hard places. It is your privilege to make your life as easy and comfortable as possible while you prepare to move to a better country, even a heavenly. If the Lord sees that it is best that you work in the cause, He will open ways for you in California. Wait until the Lord makes your way clear. He would not have you left dependent on strangers in a far country. Be contented to sustain yourselves where you are, doing what you can for the cause of God. Help where you can with the word of your testimony, but do not feel that it is your duty to use up what little means you have in going to a new field. I have written you my mind about this matter. I sincerely hope that you will be contented to stay where you are and enjoy your little home in peace and happiness. There is no reason why you should not enjoy the peace of Christ and His precious grace every day. I ask you not to place yourselves where your trials will be tenfold heavier than they now are. I have a special interest in your case, and pray that you will let the Lord mold and fashion you for the future immortal life. Maintaining personal tidiness.
Dear Brother Robert and Sister Hannah Sawyer, I have received your letter and will now reply. Lest I may have been misunderstood, I will say that I never intended that any counsel I have given you in the past should influence you against making any move that would be for your best interests. I have nothing to say to hinder your investing your means in any place where you could have better accommodations or advantages than you have where you now are. But do not, I beg of you, move blindly. Do not place yourselves where you might be left destitute of means among strangers. For you to move to North Carolina, I would consider ill-advised and inconsistent. I believe that no one who understands your circumstances would advise such a move. You need to act wisely and carefully. The Lord will not leave you if you commit your case fully to Him. I have words of counsel for Brother Robert. There is need of a reformation in your habits of dress and appearance. Untidiness in dress brings a reproach against the truth we profess to believe. You should consider that you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the whole life be in harmony with Bible truth. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, quoted. Neglect of your apparel has been a decidedly objectionable feature of your character. The impression you have made upon the minds both of believers and of unbelievers has not met the mind of the Spirit of God. Because of your slackness in this matter, our people have not felt free to advise you to take up work in selling literature, a work in which you might have accomplished much good. There is a useful work in which you might engage, visiting from house to house and speaking the right words, but your untidy influence works counter to the precious influence you might otherwise exert. Remember that you can do an acceptable work for the Lord, but your personal appearance must be such as will recommend you as one who is letting His light shine for the Master. Will you not now take hold of this matter and seek to effect a reformation in dress and appearance? If you should be entrusted with public work in our religious gatherings, with your lax ideas as to proper dress, you would not have the best influence over those whom you were trying to help. This is not a matter of but little consequence, for it affects your influence over others for time and for eternity. You cannot expect the Lord to give you the fullest success in winning souls for Him unless your whole manner and appearance is of a nature that will win respect. The truth is magnified even by the impression of neatness in dress, and I know that you desire to use every jot of your influence on the side of the Master. I have dwelt upon this matter because this is a decided defect in your character. The Lord has not been glorified by your laxness in dress. It may seem to be but a small matter, but it is against the honor and glory of God. Men and women who are rich in grace and the influence of holiness will be circumspect in every matter that helps to give them influence. Your present and future usefulness in the service of the Master depends in a measure upon how you relate yourself to this matter. We are nearing the close of time, and we must do all in our power to win souls for Christ's kingdom. Shun overwork and distrust of brethren. Now, Brother Haskell, I suppose that you are in California and that you will find much work to do. I hope that health will be granted to you, but be careful not to overwork. You know that your head will not bear much perplexity, therefore shun this, and do not load down with responsibilities that others should carry. If your brethren seek to save you from overwork, do not mistrust their efforts. Do not think that it is because they have not confidence in you that they put some of the responsibilities upon others, for this will make you wretched. Thinketh no evil is one of the blessed attributes of Jesus Christ. Your case has been laid open before me, and I know from what has been presented that you spend many hours of grief and despondency because you think your brethren simply tolerate you, but do not put confidence in you and trust you. It would not be right for them to act toward you as they have acted toward Elder Butler. Men have placed him where God should be placed, and by so doing have ruined their own religious experience and have also ruined Elder Butler, and the church was becoming strengthless, Christless, because they glorified men when every jot of glory should be given to God. Beware of Satan's devices. Nothing can weaken and unbalance the human mind like brooding over supposed wrongs, thinking that you are not appreciated. I greatly desire that you shall have a trustful mind, that you shall not depend upon your past confidence in God, but have a present, fresh faith, and maintain your confidence without wavering. Your soul must daily be warmed and invigorated by the truth of the gospel, and you refreshed by a daily living and new experience. I want you to have comfort and hope and joy in the Holy Ghost. Never, never feel the slightest disturbance, because the Lord is raising up youth to lift and carry the heavier burdens and proclaim the message of truth. Be not accusers of the brethren. I am bidden to say to my aged brethren, walk humbly with God. Be not accusers of the brethren. You are to do your appointed work under the direction of the God of Israel. The inclination to criticize is the greatest danger of many. The brethren whom you are tempted to criticize are called to bear responsibilities which you could not possibly carry. But you can be their helpers. You can do great service to the cause, if you will, by presenting your experience in the past in connection with the labors of others. The Lord has not given to any of you the work of correcting and censuring your brethren. Follow on with your brethren to know the Lord. Sympathize with those who are bearing a heavy load, and encourage them wherever you can. Your voices are to be heard in unity and not in dissension. Aged not to labor in cities. Feeble or aged men and women should not be sent to labor in unhealthful, crowded cities. Let them labor where their lives will not be needlessly sacrificed. Our brethren who bring the truth to the cities must not be obliged to imperil their health in the noise and bustle and confusion, if retired places can be secured. Avoid shut-in religion. Dear afflicted brother, we assure you that we sympathize with you in your affliction and in your sufferings. The old soldier on the field of battle, frequently in his zeal, exposes himself to danger and to death. He cannot do otherwise and have the assurance that he is doing his whole duty. This is found to be applicable in the service of the heavenly King. Wounds and bruises are received because Christ's soldiers, not willing to be in seclusion and inactivity, will not forsake their post of duty and be satisfied with a shut-in religion, saying, "I am saved, and leave the world, and sinners in the world, to perish." My brother, I do not feel to give you one word of censure, saying you were imprudent, overzealous. I would have done just as you did. Had you foreseen all, you might have saved yourself much suffering. But you did not see, and you acted out your zeal and devotion to the cause of truth, and some others may be responsible for not doing their duty. But I blame you not. Childish behavior in senior workers. The eye of the Lord has been upon you. He has desired to open before you a way to do the work that you are capable of doing. Sister S., the Lord will give you the power of comprehending that in your own strength you cannot control yourself. You have the idea that everything must be done in your way. When you see others in active service, you are tempted to think that you are left out, and for this reason you easily become impatient. The love of Christ must be an abiding principle in the soul. At your age, after your life of toil, can anything be more desirable than quietude, love, peace, restfulness, and time in which to prepare to meet your Lord in peace when He shall come? You are worn and do not view things aright. To ask you to remain in the position of a trainer of the youth would be to bring upon you too great a burden. It would be a mistake to place you, with tired nerves, in a position full of perplexity. In the management of children, you often manifest a species of severity. Can there be any power so great as the power of love? Love to God and love to your neighbor. This is the whole duty that God requires of you. Do not spoil the good work that you have done. Withdraw from the turmoil of battle and seek rest and peace in following God's way. Doors of usefulness will open to you. Brother S., take up the work that God has given you as an evangelist. Brother and Sister S., the testing question now comes to you. Will you seek for rest and peace, cultivating all your powers for the future immortal life? The Lord regards you with the greatest tenderness. Both of you need to have less responsibility in the schoolwork. The Lord desires both of you to stand free from the burdens that you have hitherto carried.
Neither of you is to feel as if you were divorced from the work. As it progresses, you should feel an interest in it and be thankful that there are others who can carry it forward successfully. One laborer is adapted to one line of work, and another laborer to another line. All are to move forward together, advancing the work harmoniously. A Paul may plant, an Apollos water, but God gives the increase. The Lord uses some men to plow the field and to sow the seed, and others to reap. And He causes both those who sow and those who reap to rejoice together in the time of harvest. This is the way the Lord has always worked. He has given to every man his work. Let us do our best. If the Lord is with us, we shall be prospered. As you read this letter, I desire you to regard me as your best friend. I respect you both for your past faithfulness. You have a work to do for the Lord, but you are to bear less responsibility than you have borne in the past. The reason for my speaking, especially of Sister S.'s being released from the work of teaching, is that she may have opportunity constantly to cultivate sweetness of disposition. My sister, never cherish unhappy thoughts, or think that you are not treated right. You have become childish. You may not recognize this, nevertheless, it is so. You need quietude and rest. You have strong likes and dislikes. Beware of hindering the work of God. Because I speak to you on these points, do not for a moment suppose that I wish to do you an injury. My son Edson has labored untiringly to have both of you sustain the right relation to the school interest. Let God work out His infinite plans. Cooperate with Him as His helping hand in working out these plans. Stand not as hindrances, for thus you would cause things to be said and done that would hinder the work that you have called in wise helpers to advance. My dear sister, I beseech you to put away all feelings of suspicion and jealousy. God's eye is over both of you. I am pained because I fear that this letter may possibly be misunderstood, but I am instructed to say to you, know who your friends are and appreciate them. When it is necessary for a work to be done in order to reform abuses that have crept into the church, thank the Lord that He has spoken. And when the Lord speaks to you, thank Him for saving you from future sorrow. I am instructed to warn you to be careful what manner of spirit you manifest in regard to enlarging and perfecting the schoolwork. For you are not to suppose that, unaided, you are equal to the task of carrying forward the increasing work that you have begun. Create no dissension by unadvised words of criticism in regard to the course of others, even if some things which displease you may seem to have been unnecessarily done. It makes me sad to think that you have become discontented over trivial matters. Danger of accepting infidel sentiments. Brother G.C. Tenney, you have been drawn away from the truth more than you have known, and your connection with men in Battle Creek has been to your great injury. The light of your past experience is going out. I have been surprised and made sad to read some of your articles in the Medical Missionary, and especially those on the sanctuary question. These articles show that you have been departing from the faith. You have helped in confusing the understanding of our people. The correct understanding of the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary is the foundation of our faith. If you had remained away from the seducing influences that Satan is exerting at the present time in Battle Creek, you might yet be standing on vantage ground. We are very sorry to see the result of gathering a large number to Battle Creek. Ministers who have been believers in the foundation truths that have made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists. Ministers who went to Battle Creek to teach and uphold the truths of the Bible are now, when old and gray-headed, turning from the grand truths of the Bible and accepting infidel sentiments. This means that the next step will be a denial of a personal God, pulling down the bulwarks of the faith that are plainly revealed in the Scriptures. In the Word is given the warning, "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Anxiety in regard to money. It is frequently the case that aged persons are unwilling to realize and acknowledge that their mental strength is failing. They shorten their days by taking care which belongs to their children. Satan often plays upon their imagination and leads them to feel a continual anxiety in regard to their money. It is their idol, and they hoard it with miserly care. They will sometimes deprive themselves of many of the comforts of life and labor beyond their strength rather than use the means which they have. In this way, they place themselves in continual want, through fear that sometime in the future they shall want. All these fears originate with Satan. He excites the organs which lead to slavish fears and jealousies, which corrupt nobleness of soul and destroy elevated thoughts and feelings. Such persons are insane upon the subject of money. If they would take the position which God would have them, their last days might be their best and happiest. Those who have children, in whose honesty and judicious management they have reason to confide, should let their children make them happy. Unless they do this, Satan will take advantage of their lack of mental strength and will manage for them. They should lay aside anxiety and burdens and occupy their time as happily as they can and be ripening up for heaven. Money cannot ransom your soul. I regard you, my brother, as in great peril. Your treasure is laid up on the earth, and your heart is upon your treasure. But all the means you may accumulate, even though it should be millions, will not be sufficient to pay a ransom for your soul. then do not remain in impenitence and unbelief, and in your case, defeat the gracious purposes of God. Do not force from His reluctant hand destruction of your property or affliction of your person. How many there are who are now taking a course which must ere long lead to just such visitations of judgment? They live on day by day, week by week, year by year, for their own selfish interest. Their influence and means, accumulated through God-given skill and tact, are used upon themselves and their families without thought of their gracious benefactor. Nothing is allowed to flow back to the giver. Indeed, they come to regard life and its entrusted talents as their own, and if they render back to God that portion which He justly claims, they think that they have placed their Creator under obligation to them. At last, His patience with these unfaithful stewards is exhausted, and He brings all their selfish, worldly schemes to an abrupt termination, showing them that as they have gathered for their own glory, He can scatter, and they are helpless to resist His power. Brother J., I address you today as a prisoner of hope. But will you consider that your sun passed its meridian some time ago and is now rapidly declining? The evening has come. Do you not discern the lengthening shadows? You have but a little time left in which to work for yourself, for humanity, and for your Master. There is a special work to be done for your own soul, if you are ever to be numbered with the overcomers. How stands your life record? Is Jesus pleading in your behalf in vain? Shall He be disappointed in you? Some of your companions, who stood side by side with you, have already been summoned away. Eternity will reveal whether they were bankrupt in faith and failed to secure eternal life, or whether they were rich toward God and heirs of the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Will you not consider that the long forbearance of God toward you calls for repentance and humiliation of soul before Him? Place affections on the better land. Our aged father T has his affections upon the things of this earth when they should be removed and he be ripening up for heaven. The life that he now lives, he should live by faith in the Son of God. His affections should be on the better land. He should have less and less interest in the perishable treasures of earth, while eternal things, which are of the greatest consequence, should engage his whole interest. The days of his probation are nearly ended. Oh, how little time remains to devote to God! His energies are worn, his mind broken, and at best, his services must be weak. Yet, if given heartily and fully, they are wholly acceptable. With your age, Brother T, has come an increase of selfishness and a more firm, earnest love for the treasures of this poor world. Sister T loves this world. She is naturally selfish. She has suffered much with bodily infirmities. God permitted this affliction to come upon her, and yet would not permit Satan to take her life. God designed through the furnace of affliction to loosen her grasp upon earthly treasures. Through suffering alone could this be done. She is one of those whose systems have been poisoned by drugs. By taking these, she has ignorantly made herself what she is. Yet God did not suffer her life to be taken, but lengthened her years of probation and suffering, that she might become sanctified through the truth, be purified, made white and tried, and, through the furnace of affliction, lose her dross, and become more precious than fine gold, even than the golden wedge of Ophir.